Indy, look!
Another lost episode, Shorty. Junior, some things are better off lost.
Oh, hello. I am C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations, welcoming you to Star Wars Delusions of Grandeur, presented by the Journey Into podcast. As always, here are your hosts, the honorable and wise Master Marshall Latham, thoroughly decent and fair-minded to biologicals and droids alike, and his sour-tongued and oft-malfunctioning counterpart, Rish Outfield, an untrustworthy and despicable creature even R2 doesn't like. And he likes everyone. I'm always telling him, R2-D2, you're far too...
Well, welcome one and all to another episode of the Delusions of Grandeur podcast here on the Journey Into podcast. We're here talking about The Last Jedi again. Rish and I couldn't help but talk about it before we could get together with Renee Chambliss and Big Anglovich. But we're going to remedy that today.
Oh my, I'd forgotten how much I hate podcasting.
So my name is Marshall Latham.
And my name is Rish Outfield.
And we have Renee Chambliss with us.
Hello. Always happy to talk about Star Wars.
And Big Ankovich.
Okay, so this is Star Wars? Damn it, I watched The Last Samurai.
You're always watching the wrong stuff, man.
Why do I always do that? Well, hopefully there's similarities, so when I say stuff, it will make sense.
I liked The Last Samurai. Let's talk about that instead.
Okay, well...
Are there porgs in The Last Samurai?
Porgs?
Sorry, I couldn't understand what that was that you said. Something about porn?
No, porgs, the little Chewie's friends.
Oh, porgs. Oh, no.
Well, maybe we should start right now to ask what Big and Renee's attitude about the porgs are, because that's the most important thing, I think.
Big, did you have strong porg-related feelings?
I'm not a big fan of porgs. They strike me as kind of, I don't know, Ewok-y. Although I liked the Ewoks, and they were like much more worthwhile than the porgs were. Porgs are more like a kind of a cat or something, like a space cat. It's like they decided the Star Wars crew needed a pet to be a part of their Scooby gang or something. Or maybe it's like Pikachu is part of Star Wars now. Or one of those other Pokemon.
You know damn well their names, Big.
Sorry.
You have a tattoo of Squirtle on your left bicep.
No, Squirtle is tattooed elsewhere.
Oh, right. Sorry. See, I was inverted at the time. So, Renee, you take the ball.
Yeah. I mean, it did seem a little forced having them there. I mean, the whole thing seemed to be the one joke, which was kind of disturbing, of Chewie roasting one of them while they all sort of look around with big Puss in Boots eyes at him. And then, you know, they become his friends. So there wasn't a lot more to it than that. I mean, it didn't bother me, but there just didn't seem to be a lot to them, good or bad.
I thought it made sense that they're on the island. You know, you see the birds flying all over the place. So I thought that part of it made sense. But then nesting inside the Falcon might have been taken a little far. But I was down with the porgs. I thought they weren't intrusive enough to make too much of a difference, but made for a couple good moments in there.
Yeah, they weren't Jar Jar-esque or anything.
No.
And they're delicious with that Szechuan sauce you keep hearing about. Ooh, just butter, sesame seeds.
So what do you think Chewie ate?
Porgs.
Once he was not eating porgs anymore.
Those other people that were on the island?
Oh, the fish people, the nuns, yes.
Those little...
Yeah, the nuns from the Dark Crystal, he ate those people instead.
I think he just did it in secret.
That was my idea, too.
He took them down to that pit.
Yeah, that's right. It was sort of a lottery. The lottery in Borg form. Like it was.
He took them down to that pit where you see your endless reflection, and that's where he ate them.
You know, Rish and I have kind of had our first take at it, and I've seen it a second time since then. I know Rish has seen it twice. I don't know if you've seen it a third time, Rish, or not.
No, sir.
But I'd like to hear your guys' overall thoughts. We can get into specifics, I guess, as needed. But just overall, did you enjoy the movie as a whole? Or were you disturbed by some of the turns that it took, like many people have expressed online?
I loved it. I thought it was terrific. And I was really mad at myself for waiting so long to see it, because I just saw it a couple days ago and I've only seen it once, and I want to see it again because there's just so much going on there. But I really felt like the characters were terrific. The story just kept you guessing. You know, I couldn't really predict what was going to happen, and I always liked that. I liked the new characters. I liked how they incorporated the old characters. And I know of Rian Johnson because I'm a Breaking Bad fan. And so there's a Breaking Bad Insider podcast that I listened to when I was watching Breaking Bad. And he was interviewed a few times because he directed 3 of the episodes. And so it was just, I liked hearing, he's pretty unique, I think, as sort of filmmakers and writers go, because he comes into all of this from sort of an independent background. So I liked how he did it. And I thought it was really interesting that he was chosen to do it, because it's, you know, Star Wars is so iconic and there are so many sort of things that you expect to see in a Star Wars movie. And he tends to do things in a different way. So I wasn't sure how it would work, but I thought it worked really well. And the experience of seeing the movie was really fun because I went with my daughter and she's at UCLA. And so we went and saw it in Westwood, which has these big theaters and a lot of movie premieres. She's kind of funny. She just started, you know, in the fall, but she's already pretty blasé about it. Like, oh yeah, when they have movie premieres, they, you know, close down this road or whatever. And there was a movie premiere in Westwood when we were there, and it was for Paddington 2.
Oh, right.
And so we saw like all the, they had all these like carnival games and stuff set up, and we saw all the people who were waiting to go into the movie premiere, and there were some of the stars, I guess, who were getting their picture taken and everything. So that was kind of fun. It made it exciting. And then the theater where we saw Star Wars was enormous, you know, kind of what they used to be like, because it wasn't a multiplex kind of theater. So that was really fun too, just the atmosphere of it. But yeah, both of us, we talked about it afterwards, how much we really liked it. And I was nervous because I hadn't seen spoilers. Like, I didn't watch the trailer. I didn't read any reviews or anything. But, you know, you can't help sort of see things here and there. And I knew there was a backlash to it. So I was nervous to hear your take on it. I was really afraid that you didn't like it. So I was relieved that you did. So, yeah, if you have any specific questions about different things that happened, I'd be happy to share more thoughts because I have.
Yeah,
a lot.
I'm sure we'll get into some of that. But first, let's hear Big's experience with the movie.
Oh, I have no thoughts. I don't. How do you do it, Renee? No, you asked my general. Did I like it or did I not? I can't remember exactly how you worded the question anymore. But
Just what was your overall impression? Did you enjoy it? Were you bothered by anything in it, or just enjoyed the whole experience? Anything along those lines?
Overall, I definitely enjoyed it. I had myself a good time while I was watching that show. It was good. It went a lot of places that I never would have guessed that it was going to go. The first film in this new series that we saw 2 years ago, it seemed like it set up a lot of stuff, made you expect a lot of stuff. And also it was very much a like a mirror image of the original Star Wars film. There was a lot of stuff in The Force Awakens that was just like Star Wars. And so you kind of expected a bit of another one like that, where it would be a mirror image as well. But it wasn't really. You know, there's things that made me think, okay, oh, this is Empire Strikes Back. Had a Hoth battle. It had a sort of a Dagobah. But then it also had an Emperor's Throne Room scene. And, you know, there was stuff from both movies kind of stuck in there. And there was a lot of stuff that they set up in the first movie that seemed obvious that it was supposed to be okay. This is the thing that they're fighting against until the end of this trilogy. And the trilogy is not over, but a lot of those things are. That just surprised me a great deal that these things were wrapped up so quickly. And maybe they felt like they had to give us some closure on stuff. Because I know, if I remember right, when Rish and I talked about Force Awakens, that was like one of his biggest gripes, was just like, who are all these people? What is their back? Why do I care about them? What's going on? And, you know, you had to wait until the next one came to find out any of that stuff. And a lot of it, you just didn't find out, which is a little frustrating. Maybe we might still find it out, or I don't know, if we've got to go read the books or something to find it out, that kind of bites. Yeah, I don't know, like, who was Snoke?
Right, yeah, I guess the two biggest overturning of expectations, it was, first of all, that Snoke was killed, he's gone, and he's not the big bad anymore, and then we find out, or at least we're told, Rey's parents were nobody, and those were the two biggest expectations going in, I think, is that that would be answered. But I guess, I think I asked you this last time, Rish, but did any of you care about Snoke? Did it really matter to you who he was, or now that he's gone?
It didn't matter to me. I thought Kylo Ren was a much more interesting character, and like there was just a lot more to him. And the Snoke thing, I wasn't wondering in the 2 years since I saw Force Awakens, like, who is Snoke? Like, that, I don't even think I gave it a thought. So that part of it didn't bother me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what the answer is. I just wanted to, I mean, it could have been, quicker thing is to say, yeah, Snoke is the original Emperor. He fell down that pit. And then, like, the janitor found him down there and took him into the infirmary. And that's why his face is caved in like that. And that's all it would take. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Or just anything. I don't know. It's just somehow this guy is supreme leader and he's supposed to be the big bad enemy. Now he's dead and we have no idea who he ever was. And that's the one thing that kind of bugs me about this whole series is that there's been, what, 30 years or something like that between...
Yeah. Yep.
The end of the last trilogy and the start of this one, and things seem like they're exactly the same, sort of, but not. And there's no, I just have no idea what's happened. And I want to understand what has gone on in between. At least a quick, you know, this happened. I mean, they run a crawl at the start of every movie. They could just throw it in there. It's been 30 years. But this happened and that happened.
I wonder if that's going to be one of the branching off kinds of stories that they'll explore.
Right.
You know, sort of like Rogue One didn't really fit in with the... It was a separate story. I mean, it tied in, but it was separate. After I saw it, I did read some articles. And one talked about middle movies and trilogies being... tough, and that even Empire Strikes Back, I guess, when it came out, it was not loved like it is now. There were some criticisms and frustrations with it because, you know, a beginning, you set it up, the ending, you resolve things, the middle, it doesn't have the same kind of framework. So I just wonder if when the third one comes out, if it's going to feel the middle, you know, the issues with these things that seemed to be dropped. You know, I can see the Snoke thing being something that was dropped, but the Rey's parents, I thought that was really amazingly well done. Like, I mean, the fact that they were not anyone, I mean, I don't think we need to know any more than that because that was so shocking, but it kind of fit. I mean, you think about all the Jedi that had come before, like, they weren't all from the same family, you know, they came from all kinds of places. So, you know, why we all assumed that, oh, she has some tie to this one family, but that didn't, you know, why? Why would she? So I thought that was really a powerful part of the story and not sort of a, you know, how could we not be told this earlier? Or like, why were we misled? Like, I thought the fact that we were misled was really added to the whole story in the movie.
Yeah, you know, I think it there's that whole destiny thing that's kind of been a through line for all these movies. And, you know, I think a lot of us just assume that Rey was part of that destiny. And they talked about, or at least George Lucas talked about, all three of these trilogies being the story of the Skywalker story. And so, well, how does Rey fit into the Skywalker story? How does everybody else? I guess we know how Kylo does, but that's probably what led to some of that.
She fits into it, though, because of this movie. Well, the last, then the one before it, you know, she fits into it because she got swept up in it all. You know, her whole dynamic with all the main characters has been a big part of the story. I don't think she needs to have a birth story that ties in with them to keep her from being a vital part of the story.
What do you think, Rish?
So, Renee, I've been in a different circle of people for the last 2 years, and there has been endless speculation about who Snoke was and what Rey's last name was and who the Knights of Ren are and what the First Order is and all these things. And so The Last Jedi comes out and it answers one of those questions and in an offhand way, in a, hey, look, it doesn't matter sort of way. And then it throws all the other questions out. And that leads me to believe that it's all J.J. Abrams' fault. That he presented all of these things with no context because he loves to see people say, what about Mace Windu? Maybe Mace Windu came back as Snoke. Or what about Darth Vader? Maybe he wasn't completely burned. Maybe it was just his armor that got burned. That's how the helmet got found. And he's like, oh yeah, what about that evil Jedi librarian from episode 2? Maybe she is Snoke. And people would argue for 2 years on the internet, all of these theories and all of these answers to questions, and J.J. Abrams just sits back and laughs because he did this on Alias, and he did this on Fringe, and he did this on Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let people guess and ask these questions, and maybe we'll never even answer the questions, but it's so much fun to see them fight amongst themselves. So Rian Johnson came on board, and I got the impression he thought, I don't care about any of this stuff. It doesn't matter who Snoke is. Kylo Ren is who matters.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what Rey's last name is. Rey is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so he painted a line on a bunch of these questions, saying, I'm not going to answer these because who cares? I've got a different story that I'm going to tell because he's a different kind of filmmaker. Now, that's not a slight against J.J. Abrams. I really like Force Awakens. I loved Lost.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who watched that show knows what it felt like to not get the questions answered again and again and again.
Well, and I mean, I just know from my own storytelling experience, it's super fun to ask these questions and to set things up in a mysterious way. It's not always that easy to resolve it. So, I mean, it might not even have been that he was trying to kind of mess with the fans. It might have just been like he had all these like, ooh, like, what if we have this? And like, what could that mean? And but he didn't know the answer. So just like leave it to the next person, like that game where you take turns telling a story and you try to leave it in the most sort of cliffhanger crazy way for the next person to pick up. You know, if the next person doesn't want to pick up where you led them, then, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, but sometimes it turns out like that other game where like you have to whisper in somebody's ear a big, long, complicated phrase. And then it keeps going around the room, and then when it comes out the other end, it's just complete gobbledygook and sucks.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see, I guess, maybe after the third movie, if that's what happens.
We keep handing it off. Hey, who is doing the third movie, Rish? You know that, right?
J.J. Abrams is doing the third movie.
Well, there he goes. So he can bring it back, like, all of a sudden.
Colin Trevorrow was going to do it. And then he was fired, and they brought J.J. in, and it should have been J.J. all along. I love Last Jedi, but it probably should have been his ball game, because he's the one that asked all these questions, and then to expect somebody else to answer them. Well, none of the heat is on J.J.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are furious that Rey's last name isn't Kenobi aren't going to throw tomatoes at J.J. Abrams'
But I just,
house.
Like, I like that her last name isn't Kenobi. Like, that would...
That would be contrived.
Yeah.
No, I also love that. I love that she's a nobody. But the four of us in this room right now seem to be the four people that don't have a problem with this movie. Sorry, 3.5. You should have heard Big the other night when he'd been drinking.
One of the things that I realized while watching this movie was that this really is Rey's and Kylo's movie. It's their trilogy, really. You know, I was caught up in everything else with Han and Luke and Leia and, you know, all this kind of stuff going on. But after seeing this movie, especially the second time, I'm like, wow, this really is their movie. I mean, Luke was a big part of this one and Han was a big part of Force Awakens, but it's really not just passing the torch, but it's really their series, their trilogy. And I like that. This isn't just, you know, fan service. I mean, part of it is, but having Luke and Leia and Han in there is exciting, but that's really not who this is about. And I think this movie really kind of brought that home even more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something I really wanted to talk with you three about is the next movie and what questions still need to be answered. If you're not me, you're looking forward to an episode 9. Well, when I saw episode 8, which I guess is Last Jedi, I don't know why I called it episode 8. I became what I most despise just now. I saw Last Jedi and I was fully satisfied and it felt like, oh, a complete story. It didn't end on a cliffhanger. I was satisfied. Mm-hmm. But then other people have been talking about the next one. So what would you like to see in episode 9? What still needs to be resolved?
Well, the bad guys are in power.
And there's only, what, 15 good guys left?
Well, wasn't that sort of the point of the ending? Yes, their group of resistance was, like, whittled down to almost nothing. But there were all these other people throughout the galaxies who were inspired by what they had done. And so they could build from there.
Yeah, especially what Luke had done.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's, I think, kind of cool about it. Like, we don't really know, like, where is it going to go? Maybe some of those questions will be answered, especially if J.J. Abrams is back. Although I guess he doesn't always answer the questions, so
yeah,
they might not be. But yeah, the whole thing with, you know, Kylo Ren, Rey, like, there's still stuff to do. You know, Leia, that has to, I don't know what's going to happen with that. How are you guys seeing Carrie Fisher? It was sad, I thought. But good, you know, it's always weird to see these movies with stars who've passed away like a year before, but it's happened many times.
I found it unfortunate that with all the old stars from the old films that somehow they managed, the only one they kept alive is the one that's not alive in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what they're going to do in the next film with that.
Okay, well, let's talk about that just for a minute. I know what you're talking about, Renee. You go see Fast and the Furious 7 and Paul Walker is dead, or you go see The Dark Knight and Heath Ledger is dead.
Yeah, I mean, that was like rough. No, I was thinking more of The Dark Knight.
But I've never been so invested in an actor that died as I have been with Carrie Fisher. And that dedication to her at the end of the movie just floored me. Oh my gosh, I loved it. You'd have to be Big Anklevich not to be moved by that.
Yeah.
And yet, he's right. They left her the only one still alive, and now when they start shooting the next one, she's not going to be there.
Yeah.
What do you do with Leia?
I mean, it just goes to show that at least for this movie, they did not rewrite it around that, you know?
And Rian Johnson says that he did consider killing her off in this movie because of, you know, the real life thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he was too attached to her scene with Luke and that at the end. And he didn't want to lose that. He figured, I'm just not going to compromise my vision of the movie. And let's leave it to the next guy.
He can figure it out.
But okay, Big, you are the next guy. You come to the table and they say, well, what do you do? We don't have Carrie Fisher. What do you do with Princess Leia?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, obviously you can't have her in the movie at all. Unless, I don't know, I mean, and there's always the opportunity of the bad CG thing like they did with Rogue One. But yeah, maybe... But
They have said they won't do that, though.
What was that?
They have said that they will not digitally recreate her.
There's other ways that they can do it, too. Like, I don't know, they could have her in a ship and you can see her silhouette from far off or something and the ship blows up. I don't know, you know, you can have stuff like that happen. You can have her off far away, and then, you know, somebody says, what happened to your leader, Princess Leia? And then they just say, it's complicated.
Please don't do that.
I mean, I don't know what you do with that. All I can guess is that they have her off on the other end of the galaxy trying to round up some more allies or some crap like that. And we never actually see her because she's off doing that. Maybe she's gone to Casino Land to see if she can get some of those guys to join their cause. Or she's starting up the new Jedi training facility with the kids that can make the broom fly into their hands. And if you can make the broom fly into your hands, why do you bother with the broom? Why wouldn't you just make the dirt all fly into a pile?
Because maybe he didn't even realize he did it. That was just for us. I don't know. Marshall, okay, how about you? If you're in charge of Princess Leia's fate in Episode 9, what do you do?
Well, I just had a really bad thought. It wouldn't be a good idea, but what if she really did die when she went off out into space, but she too was projecting herself and did the Statue of Liberty across the debris there into the spaceship? Mm. I don't think that would be a good idea, but probably it'll be in the crawl, I think. You know, there might be many years that have passed between Last Jedi in the next movie, and they just give her a send-off in the opening crawl. Mm. You know, it's not a glorious end, but, you know, she did have her moments all the way through this movie, so they might just play it off that way. There's really no, unless they have extra footage that they, or deleted scenes or anything, that they could add a couple more things that she did on Last Jedi before they wrapped. That's really the only thing they can do.
Okay, but none of you have mentioned recasting. If the vision that JJ and Kathleen Kennedy had, if Leia played a major role in Episode 9, what would the response be if suddenly Jodie Foster is playing Princess Leia?
Gosh, yeah, that would be a nightmare to be cast in that part. That would be... Oh, yeah, I don't know. I think that would be almost impossible to have people accept that.
Yeah, she's not Dumbledore.
I mean, like, Dumbledore wasn't around that long and wasn't that big of a character, you know? I mean, it's just, that would be tough.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the person who was cast. Yeah, I wouldn't recast. I just don't think that's a good idea.
Renee, did you give me your take? What do you think they should do?
No, and I think the best way to handle it would just to be sort of as quickly and cleanly as possible. I mean, I do kind of like the idea of a bunch of years passing and not having it start right instantly after this one ends. So if they did that, I think that would be more natural to have, you know, sort of a mention of what happened to her very quickly. And I don't think it's a huge problem because, like you were saying, Marshall, it's really Rey and Kylo's story, and Finn to, you know, a lesser extent. So it's not like she was sort of the focus of the movie. And I mean, it's interesting, like if the, I can't remember her name, but that Admiral, the Laura Dern character, like if she had survived, you could sort of see that as kind of a natural person to sort of step into the Princess Leia role within this framework of the story. But, you know, she didn't. So, like, they can't do that. But obviously there are other people who are involved in all of this who we might not know yet who could possibly step in. So it's not a recasting kind of a situation, but it's more having a different character kind of fulfill that role in the story.
Okay. I wonder if they considered that at any point during the period that, you know, there was nearly a year between Carrie Fisher's death and the release of Last Jedi. And at any point, did they consider maybe sparing Grand Admiral, mm-hmm. Vice Admiral Holdo, is that her name? And perhaps giving that death to Leia or shooting some little thing so that they would have a Leia-like character for the next movie. We didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just... Rian Johnson did a pretty good job of trying to build up Poe as the new leader, kind of take over those reins, you know, learning the lessons that Leia had learned over the years and, you know, kind of getting some humble pie in a couple instances there. And then she almost pointed to him and said, well, follow him at the end there. So I think Rian was trying to set him up as the next leader of the resistance or the rebellion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, JJ could change that up too.
Yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't have to be the same type of leader, because obviously he would not be the same. Even if he changes, he's still not going to be the same kind of leader. What I wonder is, like they do on TV where they have a bunch of writers and a bunch of directors, they get together and they do map out the basic story. And so that's what I'm wondering is, if they did that, you know, did J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson and I guess J.J. Abrams again, like, did they all get together with maybe some other writers and kind of plan out what this story arc was going to be? And if so, then maybe it will fit together. Like, we'll see how it all fits together better once the third one is complete. Because otherwise it is, you know, to take it back to writing and storytelling, you know, you have the plotters versus the pantsers, the people who outline everything and figure it all out before and then write, and then the people who write and it comes to them as they're writing. And I'm more of the second type. But you still get to a point where you have to figure out how it all fits together. You can't just sort of keep going down, you know, rabbit hole after rabbit hole. Like, if you want to have a tight story, you have to do that. So I hope that they did, because that's going to make the whole thing better to have it fit together.
Yeah, I can't believe that there's any such thing as a pantser in Hollywood. It's one thing to throw together a novel that's not going to cost anybody a whole lot of money. But huge budget movies like these,
well,
when they're putting $200 million behind it,
yeah, movies,
they have to know what's going on ahead of time to risk that much on it. And so I don't know that that's ever allowed. I hope that they didn't do such a thing.
Well, I think they kind of did, though, with the prequels, you know?
Wow.
Like, it doesn't fit together. You know, they did sort of go their own way.
But that was a movie that one man was making with no outside help. He didn't have to answer to anyone. It was self-financed. He was writing it kind of like a series of novels, where as soon as he was done with that one, then maybe he'll start thinking about the next one. Nobody else does that.
Well, they could have in this situation, because the whole criticism that this movie doesn't tie up the ends that were the questions that were asked in the first movie. So if there was no sort of overall design, you're sort of saying that there wasn't, because this movie doesn't answer those questions, doesn't fit with what was set up with the first one. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if this third one doesn't tie it all together, then I don't think they had a big plan before they started. Or if they did, it was very, very basic without much detail at all.
Well, I was kind of surprised, because I remember hearing, and maybe it's because whatever Colin Trevorrow was working on has been scrapped, but it was like either right before or right after, I think it was right after Last Jedi came out, like a week or so later, where somebody was saying that Abrams had gone and pitched his take on the third movie and what he wanted to do with it. And so I was kind of surprised to hear that there wasn't already something. I mean, he can make changes and you know, do his own thing with it, but I figured the basic structure and story was there, but who knows?
Well, and to bring up Breaking Bad again, but if you haven't seen it, it's like, you know, not for everyone, but the way they told that story was total pantser. And they set up these crazy scenarios, because there was a lot of flash forward kinds of things that would happen like at the beginning of a season. They would have this crazy situation that you would see, which is like several months in the future. And they would have no idea how it was going to get to that point. But they spent so much time. I mean, they spent like 2 months per episode breaking the episode. So it all ended up fitting together really, really well, and there was foreshadowing early on that made total sense with what happened at the end. But when they set it up, they didn't know how it was going to be resolved. And so I know that's TV and not a movie, but this is a series of movies where it is all telling one story. So I think it's possible, even if you don't have it all planned out ahead of time, to have it be a tight overall story, but you have to consider what came before and make sure that when you're ending it, how you end it makes sense in the context of what's come before. But that's just my opinion. And I have had that experience myself with stories where all of a sudden I'll realize like why what happened earlier is there and it fits perfectly. Like I had made this brilliant master plan from the beginning, but I didn't. So I do think it's possible to kind of go backwards that way, but you have to think about it. It's not going to just magically happen.
All right. So let me ask one more episode 9 question. Kylo Ren, is he going to be redeemed or is he too far gone? Marshall, you go first.
I would seriously be disappointed if Kylo Ren is redeemed. You know, he's the opposite of what we're used to, where he wants to be evil or he has evil intentions, but many things have held him back. You know, he still feels towards the light, but he's making choices now. I mean, he had his opportunity in the throne room there after him and Rey killed all of the guards and Snoke was dead. He had that opportunity to jump over and be the good guy, but he chose, you know, and I think the way he acted that scene, you know, it seemed to me like this was part of his plan altogether. He wanted to get to the point where he had killed Snoke and that he becomes the supreme leader, and he wanted Rey to be with him, I guess similar to how Darth Vader wanted Luke to be with him, but I don't think he has any intention of going back. And like I said, I would be disappointed if he did, because we've seen that, you know, with Darth Vader and going along with those, changing our expectations of what has come before. I would really like to see his journey to the dark side. And that's just who he is. And I mean, I guess, you know, Anakin killed all the younglings and stuff. And so how can he be redeemed from that? But Kylo's made several decisions in these first two movies that to me make him kind of irredeemable, but maybe that's just because I want something different, not necessarily that he can't be redeemed. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's my take on that.
I think I agree with Marshall. I'd prefer him not to be redeemed, and I don't know, at what point does someone become irredeemable? He killed Han Solo, his own father, in cold blood. You know, it was his plan all along, and he killed him so that he could give himself over to the evil completely. When does somebody do something that is irredeemable? Seems like murder is supposed to be one of those things. But these days, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, you have people like Dexter who are heroes of shows despite murder. So maybe that's not the way it goes. I guess Darth Vader was redeemed, and not that we saw any of it, but he killed lots of people.
Yeah, but when he was redeemed, it's not like he went on and had sort of a normal life after that, right. You know? Like,
well, yeah, there's that moment when Luke is trying to sway Vader to the good side, and he says, come with me. And Vader says, it's too late for me, son. What kind of life could Vader have had he gone with Luke Skywalker? There's no place that would have welcomed him. He was a monster. We all love him, but he was... The things he had done were unforgivable. He had a swath of dead bodies everywhere he went. The same thing with Kylo Ren. We saw in the flashback, or I guess in the flashback in Force Awakens, that he killed children, his fellow students. Then, yeah, his father tries to make peace with him and he skewers him like a shish kebab. Who is going to welcome this guy back into the good side? The only way out for him is further along the path of the dark side or a noble death.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question. And I agree. Like, I don't think The noble death wouldn't bother me horribly, although it wouldn't be my favorite just because it's sort of a, you know, we've seen that before. So I guess I would prefer that he wasn't redeemed. But what about the fact that he did not, like, he couldn't pull the trigger on his mom? That shows he's not, I mean, obviously he didn't, he knew someone was going to and he didn't stop them. But he personally couldn't do it. You know, that's telling us there is some conflict there. There is maybe a line he won't cross.
Yeah, I really like that moment. It, you know, he's not a well, in a lot of Force Awakens, he was kind of a one-dimensional character. But towards the end of that movie and in this movie, you know, he's really become a character that there is conflict and there is, I mean, he just struggles. You know, he's not like Darth Vader. And maybe Darth Vader wasn't as calm and collected as he came across. But like I said to Rich last time, I just love how Kylo Ren, he's just on the edge of madness there a lot of times and can't contain his anger or frustration with stuff. But yeah, I did like that moment where he couldn't kill his mom.
What do you think about the mask, him abandoning the mask?
I thought that was a good move. It makes him more of a person without it.
Yeah.
And I liked the reason, you know, because, you know, Snoke said, you know, what are you wearing that stupid thing for?
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons he seems like a more three-dimensional character is because, you know, he's a really good actor and you can see that, which it's harder to convey behind the mask. I mean, Darth Vader was able to do it just so it's not impossible, but I like that. I like that he looks human, you know, he's not all shriveled like the Emperor and he doesn't have the caved in face. You know, he's not Darth Maul with the red, you know, and the horns. He's a human. He's the son of Leia and Han, but he's still, you know, completely or almost completely in the throes of the dark side.
Yeah, he's really the Anakin that we wanted to see in the prequels.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly has motivation for turning to the dark side.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're going for. It's like, okay, we're going to make prequels that don't suck.
Well, I have spoken to people that seem to believe they are setting Kylo Ren up as a redemptive figure. And it's interesting that all four of us are kind of pushing against that. But it would be refreshing to have somebody reject the outstretched hand of redemption. Because in real life, I think that happens. And Kylo Ren is now, he answers to no one.
Mm-hmm.
He might have to watch his back around, what's his name? Hux. But perhaps he will find himself now that he is in charge of something and he will become a complete being. I don't know. It will be fun to see him as the major villain, as the leader of this vast army.
Mm-hmm.
As the person that has to make the hard decisions in the next movie.
Did any of you see, this was after The Force Awakens, the Saturday Night Live sketch where it was Undercover Boss with Kylo Ren?
Sure.
Yeah, I love that.
I did see that, yeah.
It's awesome. I really enjoyed that. We watched it again after seeing Last Jedi. I thought it was very funny. My daughter and I were wondering, and I don't know what your guys' thoughts are, and maybe this is a weakness in the movie or in the series, but is Kylo Ren a Sith? Like, that doesn't seem to be mentioned, at least not that I can recall.
Big, you take this one, buddy.
I was going to say, didn't he say at one point that the Jedi and the Sith both needed to just go away and they'd do something new? I don't know how long it's been since I saw it now, but I swear.
No, yeah, he did. Yeah, he said we need to forget the past and blaze our own, he didn't say blaze our own trail, but he said we need to forget the past and move ahead.
Because they do have that kind of a relationship, you know, the master and the apprentice, and not, you know, there being two, at least what we've seen.
But in my opinion, a Sith is just a thing that they made up for the prequels, and not even a thing that they followed that well, because they say, always two there are, but there's not always two. There's always more. There's always another one because we need another one. There's in the cartoon, they've got bad ones, and they have in the Lego Star Wars another one, and they just keep making more because always more need for bad guys there are.
So Darth Vader is never called a Sith Lord in the original trilogy. I don't remember that being a new term, but maybe it was in the prequels.
I'm pretty sure that it did not exist.
They had never defined Sith before Phantom Menace, but mm-hmm. I'm with Big. I was hoping that he would say, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. Thank you, Samuel L. Jackson, because he's right. It was just a word they came up with to describe a dark side user. Do we need a box? They also say Kylo Ren is master of the Knights of Ren in The Force Awakens. And I think that's the same thing. It's just like, it's a word that they made up. It doesn't mean anything. It will be up to somebody to write a novel called The Knights of Ren that will explain this whole thing. I'll do it, Lucasfilm, if you really need me to do it. but yeah, Kylo Ren's a Sith. If Sith means somebody who has turned to the dark side or who uses the Force for evil.
Well, I don't want to defend the prequels again, but but there were always two. There was, you know, Palpatine and Darth Maul, then Palpatine and Dooku, then Palpatine and Vader.
But Dooku was there all along. It's not like he was new.
No, he wasn't. He had originally been a Jedi. We don't know exactly like when he became a Sith.
Okay, and who is Sifo Dyas?
Don't do that. For 3 years we asked who Sifo Dyas was.
And those people, didn't you think that...
Was he Qui-Gon Jinn?
Didn't you think Snoke kind of looked like those cloners? I was thinking that that might be a tie. But sorry, this is probably not at all what you guys want to discuss. But he has the same look about him as...
Oh, the big, tall, long-neck people?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe he'd been a cloner. It had all gone wrong somehow. I'll write that story, Lucas.
We'll find out what the heck Snoke was now that nobody cares anymore because he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Maybe part three will be a big flashback. The Snoke story. Forget about Rey and Kylo Ren. Like, that'd really get everyone up in arms.
Well, they're going to have to, they're going to run out of characters that they can do solo movies with at some point. So they'll do a Han Solo movie, and then they're going to do a Yoda movie, and et cetera, on down the line. But eventually they're going to be like, okay, well, now it's time to do the Snoke movie starring Snooky.
Well,
Marshall, did you have anything else you needed to know?
I don't think so.
Oh, hey, let me ask you this. The last time you and I spoke, you had only seen it the one time. How was the experience of seeing it a second time different? Was it better? Was it worse? Did you pick up on things? Did you see the books?
Yes, I did see the books the second time. No, yeah, it was a good experience seeing it a second time. You know, knowing what was going to happen, just kind of looking for the foreshadowing, and I kind of got to appreciate, you know, like the Holdo character a little bit more. She wasn't just somebody filling in Leia's shoes. You know, you kind of got to see her style a little bit the second time. And, you know, you weren't questioning, was she a traitor or wasn't she? You kind of knew where all that was going. I guess that is a question I had for you. Was she in the Leia book that you read?
Holdo? No.
Oh, okay. It must have been some other, because they were talking about a Leia novel, or maybe it was Bloodlines or something, that Holdo was a character in before appearing.
Oh, that's interesting. Cool. Well, the book I read, Leia was 16, so I would think that would make Holdo very young if she had been in it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably the other novel pre-Force Awakens. But Big had mentioned earlier that... you know, hopefully they answer all the big questions, or at least they finish everything up in the episode 9 in the movie, not relying upon a novel or a comic book or something like that to tie all the loose ends together. That at least there's some kind of a closure and completion with the third movie in this trilogy. I like them using things from the novels and creating novels based and comic books and stuff based on stuff that's in the movies, but as long as they don't rely on that and count on somebody reading that in order to understand the movie, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
The other thing that, you know, we talked about it a lot in our last episode, Renee and Big, what was your reaction with Luke? You know, he definitely wasn't what we expected. And then, of course, he sacrificed himself at the end or whatever happened there. What are your thoughts on Luke Skywalker and how, I guess, his swan song in the Star Wars universe here?
Well, I listened to your take on that and about the change, how he changed and how that bothered some people. I wasn't surprised at all that he changed, and I think it's good and only appropriate because we do change as we get older. And if I don't know if you guys have, if you watched, probably not, but I'm a big fan of the Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight movies, which are the first one, Before Sunrise, was filmed in the early 90s. The next one was filmed right after, you know, 2001, I think. And then the most recent one was around 2011, 2012. And they have the same actors. It's like Boyhood, but Boyhood was filmed on purpose every year for, you know, 15 years. Like these, I don't think that was the plan from the first one, but that's kind of what they ended up doing. And I loved Before Sunrise. It was like, just hit me right in my, you know, back when I was young and romantic and everything, I really liked that movie. And when I heard they were making a sequel, which, you know, came out and the characters were not in their early 20s, now they were in their early 30s, as I was, you know, expecting to see these same characters, like acting in the same way, but they weren't, because you're a very different person in your, from when you're in your early 20s to when you're in your early 30s. It's just a different stage of life. You're not as necessarily as optimistic and hopeful and idealistic because you've had some things happen and more sort of responsibilities and just all of that. And so when I first watched the beginning of Before Sunset, I was like really, really disturbed because they had changed. They weren't the same. But then, of course, as I thought about it and processed it, I realized that makes complete sense. You know, I think one of the strengths of the Harry Potter series is the characters don't stay the same, you know, as they get older, you know, when they hit puberty and they're surly and, and angry and not the starry-eyed little kids they were at the beginning. So the whole change that happened to Luke, that didn't bother me. I thought it was totally fitting and I was glad that they showed it that way. As for how he went out, I didn't know what was really happening there. But I did notice that his beard was darker, you know, and more groomed. And so I thought, wow, because, you know, they do that like in Lord of the Rings when Aragorn suddenly becomes the king instead of the Strider character. He starts wearing his hair pulled back. Like he just looks sort of more kingly. And so I thought, well, maybe that's it. Like he's been sort of alone on this island and he's kind of sprucing himself up before he's going out among people again. But then, of course, when it turns out like what really has happened, I guess I do have a question, like why did he project himself that way? I guess maybe because that was how Kylo Ren had last seen him. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's how he sees himself still in his head, you know? You look in the mirror and you think, I'm still young and skinny.
True. Like, he hasn't seen a mirror, so he didn't jump down in the pit and see all the different projections of himself. But I never had a problem with sort of sad endings, and I thought it was a really cool way to go out. You know, I liked it.
Yeah, I liked the ending that he had. I liked him having a big ending and him doing something that was completely beyond Kylo Ren's even understanding. He went down there and tried to fight with a friggin' ghost. I loved that, you know, they did the whole bit where they're like, shoot every gun that we have at that man. And they just blasted him and blasted him until Hux finally like, I think you got him. But they hadn't, you know, and he comes out and he just brushes off his shoulder like, you guys got nothing that I can't handle. I loved to see that because the movies that we all know, Luke wasn't that. He was up and coming. He was brand new. He was just learning. He was still years behind what Rey was at in the very first movie. So it was neat to be able to see Luke as a badass. The thing that I kind of was bummed about is I wanted Luke to be wiser. I guess that's what Yoda is. We didn't need another Yoda or something, but I would think that as he moved through his life and became a Jedi Master and et cetera, he would have learned some wisdom. But he didn't seem to have it in any of his dealings with Rey. He seemed to be led by his emotions more than anything else, and not the wise one that can see the long game and figure things out. But I guess maybe he didn't have that. Maybe that was what the whole deal was, why he was hiding in the island in the middle of nowhere, is because he wasn't that. I don't know.
The failure with Kylo Ren was pretty absolute. It would be hard to be wise and calm and sort of sharing wisdom when that had happened and you feel responsible.
Well, and the thing that hit me with that too was I started thinking, well, you know, why didn't Ben come and visit him, or why didn't Yoda come before? But I mean, he had totally cut himself off from the Force. He wasn't reaching out. He wasn't feeling anything. And so, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they were trying to reach out to him, but he had cut himself off.
The other thing that's kind of weird with this movie is that the whole MacGuffin from the last movie was the map that would lead you to Luke Skywalker. That was like the thing that was going to be the greatest and was going to turn the tide and it was going to make everything good. And so they got the map and they found Luke Skywalker, and Luke Skywalker didn't really do anything, and then they all got worse off, and now Luke Skywalker's dead. So what was the point of all that? Was that really a thing? I don't know. At least the cosmic cube really had power.
Yeah, I guess I would say maybe they thought that Luke would help and would be the answer, but they were wrong.
It's the Wizard of Oz. You had the power within you all along.
And ironically, he... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rey is not a Skywalker or whatever. Rey is the new hope for the future, no pun intended, who's going to train all these new Jedi. And ultimately, did they need Luke Skywalker? Well, all those people who would have died in the caverns needed Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, he did save the day. That small handful of people who were left.
He saved only enough people to fit in the Millennium Falcon, which I don't know how big
it is, but... He who saves one life, Big Anklevich, saves the world entire.
All right.
Qui-Gon Jinn taught us that. Oh, sorry, Oscar Schindler taught us that.
Yeah, ask that one starfish how they feel about being saved.
It matters to this one.
And I guess the legend of Luke Skywalker and what he did that day inspired the Broom Kid. Maybe that will go on to inspire others.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks, guys. I think that's been a good discussion. I guess we can bring it to a close. But yeah, it was great to have you guys come back on the show and talk about this.
Yeah, I do have a topic, but it would be for a totally separate podcast, and that is the Han Mr. Darcy parallel, because they're basically the same kind of character.
Let me at him, Big. How dare she sully my precious Star Wars trilogy with Jane Austen?
It is the Star Wars trilogy for women.
You liked the one. I didn't say he was the Colin Firth Mr. Darcy. I just said he was a Mr. Darcy type of character. So anyway, someday we'll talk about it and I can really infuriate you.
Well, see, that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to bring the men and the women together and putting those two things
exactly
as the same.
Well, we've got a Han Solo movie about to come out. If you want to do an episode where we talk about who Han... I don't know that we've sat down and done a Han Solo episode. So maybe we should do that before the waters are muddied, if you will.
Yeah, I would be up for that because he's probably my favorite Star Wars character. So I could be one of those bitter, disgruntled fans who just does not appreciate the Han movie because it doesn't do him justice. So yeah, before my dreams are crushed, we could talk about it.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one, but I hope they pull it off. I'm looking forward to it at this point anyways.
I'm looking forward to it too. To me, it seems way easier to do than a new trilogy or a side story or any just more adventures with this character we already love. We can see how he meets so-and-so and how he and so-and-so become friends and he and so-and-so become enemies. I don't see how the movie can go wrong. Of course, we've seen fumbles before when it was big help me with the sports analogy. When the quarterback throws like a perfect pass and the receiver has butterfingers.
And he drops
Translate
it?
That into sportsism. Help me out here.
I'm not allowed to talk sports. I'll get fired from my job if I do.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's a teaser for all you folks.
But yeah, let's do that.
I think what Renee's worried about is the actor and the way that Han Solo comes out.
Right. That's another part that would be really hard. Although, you know, Ewan McGregor did a good job with young Obi-Wan. So, you know, it's not impossible, but...
Well, then let's get together before May the 4th. No, sorry, it's May the 25th is the Han Solo movie. And talk about this.
Okay, well, you guys are the experts.
Okay, because we can talk about the Han Solo that we have loved our whole lives. And then we can end the discussion with, what do you think? Is this him? We'll do that.
Sounds good.
All right.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to the Journey Into podcast and this Delusions of Grandeur episode. I'm grateful for Big and Renee for coming on here. And if you'd like to interact with us here at the podcast, you can send an email to journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. You can get on the forums at journeyinto.freeforums.org. You can get on Facebook or Twitter at the Journey Into. And you can even call into the voicemail line at 77JINTO107. That does it for me. I'm signing out. I can't think of a quote, so. Thanks, everybody.
See you, folks.
Bye.
Fly casual.
Lies! Deceptions! Creative Commons license will save us. Attribution. Non-commercial. No derivatives. Share this with everyone. Save the journey. Save the dream.
Did you guys talk about Puppet Yoda coming back?
Yeah, I think we
did a little bit. Yes.
I liked that.
As did I.
So did I.
I thought that was very cool. And it kind of made sense from a sort of story perspective because we see, last time we see Yoda, if you're going in order of the movies, he is a puppet. So
that's true. He was only CG when he was young.
That's right. When you age, that kind of affects how you move. And
yeah, your CG hardens into puppetry.
I guess Grand Moff Tarkin could say the same thing.